You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 12 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. It is Bart Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776 is the number. Don't mind us. We're just...
Things that make you go,
I'm playing beer pong right now in Canty's studio.
We wrecking your studio up, Chris.
Sorry.
We all in your bed jumping with our shoes on, son. It used to be our house.
This used to be my playground.
What up, Alan Hanna?
You tell me. All right, make that shot. Make that shot. You could pick whatever topic you want to talk about to start the show. Make it. Make it. And oh,
yeah.
No, you didn't.
Shoot the J. Hey. Blouses.
Game Blouses. For everybody that can't see, if we was on TV like we supposed to be, you would see that I just swooshed it.
I mean, that was pretty clutch.
All porcelain, baby.
That was clutch.
That's what it was.
There's a first of all, it says ESPN Cleveland on it.
Yeah,
but it's a mug. I don't know what this is about in there. They have a thing, what is it, mugshot? Is that what that says?
Yeah. All mugshot. Right.
So it's a mug that they've got in their setup here on the Unsportsmanlike studio, which used to be the Bart and Han studio.
Yep.
Originally the Bart and Han studio.
Yep.
So they should still have a memorial. And there is actually a picture of you and I on the door, which I like. They kept our memory.
Listen.
We are memorialized here.
You could tell they learned from the mistakes.
Yeah, there's no ports. There's no electronic pit in the table that you can ruin. So anyway, there's a mug, and then there's a couple of squishy balls, right?
Yeah, yep.
Like a baseball and a basketball, but they're mini. And so we were playing beer pong, and Bart was missing everything, like brick after brick. The minute the show starts...
I'm a gamer, baby.
Yeah, that's what I said. You're clutch.
I'm a gamer.
You need to have something on the line for it to work. Swish.
See, I wonder.
Just buckets.
I wonder if all Knick fans, right?
Yeah.
When you these,
if
little
we don't
kids,
hear from Knick fans today, when am I ever going to hear? From?
I wonder if these Knick fans
today is
the kids, right? The kids, right? I'm talking about the young kids, the kids that's in AAU.
Okay.
When they going down and they hooping and they shoot the J up, are they saying Brunson?
Are you sniffing the fingers?
That's how you know you made it,
right? You do the three.
Yes. Because around here, you know your effect on the culture.
Is that a mask or is he sniffing? It looks like he's sniffing.
No, it's kind of like you see the football players do it when it's a first down, the receivers get it, they go.
Yeah.
Like, because you could.
But he does the three, but he holds it up over his mouth.
Yeah, because you're supposed
then
to.
Then he kisses it.
Yeah, because you see, like, I think he just did an adaptation of, like, smelling it, right?
It started out where it looked like he was smelling it, but now he does where he puts the three over the mouth like he's like it's a mask, and then he kisses it and then points to the sky. Yeah. Or every now and then, somebody is talking some trash, he will take it and go at you, like point at you.
See, I think that's a way because, like, I always thought it was so stupid.
What?
If you do the nose thing,
mm-hmm.
you're good. Right. If you do the throat slash, what are we talking about?
Because the throat slash is a murder thing.
But yeah, I'm killing you out here, son. Somebody save this dude. Somebody give him life support.
Murder.
Somebody come zap him because I'm killing his ass, son. Mm. What? Like, the funniest thing is, two things that piss me off in the history of sports.
Oh, boy. Well, you did hit the bucket, so you can now choose the topic that you want to begin with. So go ahead.
Randy Moss got fine, and they thought he was the most vile person because he pretended to pull his pants down. Pretended.
Yeah.
And to wipe his butt on the goalpost. Pretended.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
It's a different league now. I don't think he would have been – I don't think that would have happened today.
And then, like, who's that, the Jets running back got in trouble because he act like he wiped his butt with the ball.
Yeah, I remember that too.
It's a fake wipe. It's fake.
I know.
Like, how are we getting fined for that?
I don't know if that's still happening today. I think today they're letting you do a little more celebration.
Do two pumps. You get two.
Pumps?
Two pumps.
Pump. Oh, the hip
Yes, you do hip thrust. You hit him with three. It's absurd. Well, oh, how dare you hit it three times?
What was that song? It's like duh.
Yeah, it was Keenan Peele.
I love that.
Like, I mean, like the stuff that people find offensive is the most stupid stuff I've ever heard in my life, man.
I agree.
But you know, I think he does that because that's the adaptation, you know, from football. The football players started it first, I believe, because CeeDee Lamb and everybody when they and Diggs and stuff when they get the first down, they go and they point like first down, and like so now he's like three ball. But I'm trying to figure out what this contraption he got around his right knuckle. You know what I mean? Like the thing, the tape. Yeah, like it's like around his right knuckle. Like
I'm telling you, he is starting to become where it's like, you know, like James Brown at the end of a concert looks exhausted.
Yeah.
And then they come to help him out. And then also he just throws it off. Like he does that almost every game where he's on the ground and he's checking something. And all the players stand around him like, oh, is he okay? And then the hands come up.
Get on up. Mr. Bird.
He definitely does that a lot. He does that a lot.
You'd be like, man, is he playing it up, man? But like, hey, he's a little tough little son of a gun, man.
He is.
And I think we have to really, like, everybody how has to eat worse.
Yeah, how much do you take
everybody has
last night's performance where he had 39, really, he missed a free throw, should have been 40. He had 39 points in three quarters against their main player. They didn't wave the flag until the fourth quarter. And it was already a 30-point game. How much credence do you give his performance against the Celtics and the Knicks' performance against the Celtics? Let's take the fourth quarter and throw it out the window because that was benches playing against. That was the JV.
For me,
right?
For
do
me,
you take anything out of that at I all do. As an athlete?
I do because, like, the Celtics, like, man, whatever. We weren't really playing. The Knicks, you have to take everything that you can for confidence. You know what I'm saying? Like, whether they were bums like Rocky or not. Like, you'll cross that bridge when you get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But, like, right now, confidence is an amazing thing, right? And momentum is a crazy thing.
Yeah, momentum.
And when that momentum runs on your side, you ride it, right? And you hope that maybe the people that you're playing don't have the capacity to grab it, seize it, and then put it back on you. So, I mean, I take everything out of it. Hey, we got the dub, right? So, hey, they're not unbeatable. I don't care what the circumstances are because you can tell yourself we playing without Julius Randle. So I don't want to hear any excuses about circumstances.
It's just a man.
Ain't going, yo, Mick. Ain't going down no more. You know what I'm saying?
Like, more man than that.
Well,
take my skin off.
Well, all right. So a lot of times you like to go behind enemy lines when it comes to getting what does the enemy think of you, right?
Yes.
What do they think of you? The take in Boston after that performance yesterday was interesting. The post-game show that you'll see on NBC up in Boston, Brian Scalabrine and Eddie House had this to say about Jalen Brunson.
Jalen Brunson's a problem, man. I'm telling you. I know, like a lot of people said, he's not that dude. He's that dude to me. When I watch him play, he's that dude.
Yeah, he plays at his own pace. His tempo is never sped up. He knows where he's going. Like, that play right there against Porzingis is acting like I'm about to go all the way to the basket, gets his feet slide and pulls up, stops on a dime and pulls up. I mean, and look, he's scoring against everybody, though.
Yeah.
And it's not a clip to where it's one guy that's getting all of those buckets. He's scoring against everybody, whether it was Jalen, Jason, Drew Holiday, Porzingis he scored on, whether it was Derek White. He gave everybody some of that bug. And the cold part is he got 39 in three quarters. He could have had 50 tonight if he wanted to. If they kept him out there, he could have had 50 points tonight.
If that game was close, he might have had to get to 50, right? But that's basically what this was. It was like Jaylen Brown, step up, get you a slice. But Jason Tatum, your turn, come get you a slice.
I'm the can man.
He was giving out
everybody
pizza.
Everybody can get some.
And they were picking him up three-quarter court at times. They were trying to force 8-second violations. Like you saw, it was a lot of personal attention to Brunson. But what I also saw, the Celtics didn't give you a team scheme against Brunson. They were not revealing that.
Yeah, they're holding that.
They were going like, all right, you know, Drew, you get him for a minute. Like, you get him, like, see, pick him up one-on-one. Let's watch tendencies. I almost feel like, I want to say this. I think the Celtics treated that game as a way to get some tape.
Yep.
Let's see what they're doing.
How they respond to this.
Let's see what they do when we do this. What do they do when we do this? What's their counters to this stuff so we can pick up how they're playing off Brunson? What are they doing? I think this was a tape game. Now, they tried to be competitive,
But as you heard them, Mazzulla say after the game, it's like, look, the Knicks are playing desperate right now. They're trying to lock up a high seed, a highest seed they can get. And, you know, the Celtics, everything's set up. The only thing the Celtics are waiting for is to see who's going to be the eighth seed that they play. That's basically it. They already know that they've got home court throughout. So I don't put a lot into the matchup and the final score and say the Knicks proved something last night. I'm not going that far.
It's something to themselves, not to anybody else.
Yeah, I think you're right. Winning there was important. They hadn't beaten them all season, so it was important to kind of just get that last, okay, last time we were here, we won, that good feeling. But I don't take anything more out of that. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't think the way this team is playing down the stretch, the way Brunson is playing, and what we've seen him do against the Milwaukee Bucks on the road, now the Celtics on the road, what we've seen him do and what we've seen this team do. There's part of me that also looks at this and says, I do believe that in the Eastern Conference, if there are one or two teams that I think are best fit right now to take on the Celtics in a conference final, it's the Knicks and it's the Sixers. Those are the two teams. Now, coincidentally, they could end up playing each other in the first round.
Yeah,
which would suck because now you're eliminating two teams. You know, one of the two teams that could take out the Celtics.
You don't think that the Magic have a chance? You just think they're not experienced.
Orlando, I don't know if they
talk
got,
about how rugged they are, their size.
Yeah, they are physical. Look, you don't want to like they're not fun to play against in the first round. If it's Cavs Magic, the Cavs don't have a chance, in my opinion, because I think the Cavs are just not physical. They can't handle that kind of physicality.
And it's crazy, right? Because is Tristan Thompson even still on their team?
The Cavs? Yeah, I can't
remember. You think that with Jared Allen.
But it's Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, and we saw last year the Mobley, Knicks manhandled
those
guys.
That's what I'm saying. You think with that length, they would like man up and get a little tougher.
No, they'd rather.
They got tremendous length.
He's still there, yeah. Tristan Thompson's still there.
Is he like 85?
The Cavs would rather play the Pacers. That fits them better. So if the Cavs are rooting for anything for a first round, they want to see Indiana.
What I'm saying,
the Knicks are probably going to see Indiana though.
Yeah, what I'm saying, and you know that's going to be a shootout because Indiana goes.
Oh, that's why the Cavs want it. They want to go up and down. Now, so as I said, so you heard that from Scalabrine and Eddie House. This is the enemy. This is the Celtics people that they cover their team, and these are two NBA players, former NBA players, and what they see in Brunson and how you see that the tone of their voice. Right now, let's go to the TNT broadcast last night, Bart, and I want you to hear Charles Barkley with Shaq at the end, I'm sure, talking about while the Knicks are playing well, they don't see them getting out of the first round if they get a matchup with Indiana.
Damn. Pacers, they'll beat the Knicks if they play in the playoffs. They're both 3-6. The two teams that intrigue me the most going into the playoffs after the trade deadline, Pacers and the Mavs.
Are you saying that with certainty?
I think the Pacers beat the Knicks.
I agree with you, Dutch.
Are they high?
Pacers beat the Knicks.
The Knicks can bite down and hold anybody down offensively.
Now, look, the Pacers have
the season series. They want to play Milwaukee because Milwaukee can't beat them.
Indiana has the head-to-head on the season, so you concede that. They score a ton of points.
How much is that with OG?
The Knicks don't have enough points like in their system right now. They don't without Randle. They're just not enough scoring that they rely so much on Brunson that he's going to have to carry the load, right? So you can make the argument, but I'll tell you this. I while so many Knicks fans heard that last night on TNT, and I never for the life of me understood this. Why do fans care so much about what national says about your team when you know on the national level you're not getting an in-depth response? Yeah. You're getting an aerial view of your team.
A macro.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like they are watching your team closely. They don't know all the ins and outs. They see them for one night, one game. They get some notes on them, and then they give you some comments. And yet, I always have noticed this, no matter what it is in the New York teams, the fan bases get so caught up in what national media analysts say about your team.
Because those are the greats, right? They see all teams, supposedly, but they don't. Listen, they looking at Cliff Notes, a couple highlights. They're not watching.
That's the reality of it. Now, I will also then add this. I heard this last night, and I smiled. I got texts from people last night about it. Can you believe what Charles Barkley said? Can you believe the disrespect?
It's Charles Barkley.
And my response was simply, good. Good.
It's Chuck.
Do you really want the expectations laid on your team Do you really want everybody now suddenly making you the favorite?
Yeah.
Everybody talking you up like, yo, this team, they can beat the Celtics. I think this team can go on a run. Do you really want that?
Setting you up for the letdown.
Yeah. DiPietro always had a saying that I used to I loved it because it's a funny way to kind of look at life, right? Under promise, over deliver.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, of course. But he said it all the time.
I thought it was like some
confusion. No, it's not confusion. No, it was confusing. But no, he'd say it a lot, so it stuck with me. Under promise, over deliver. So when you are hearing national media not give you what you think should be flowers and respect,
go get it.
That's fine. Because I'd rather that than all of a sudden they're raising expectations for a team that, let's be honest, the Knicks, here's the gap in what the Knicks could be. They could lose in the first round.
Yeah.
They could also go to the Eastern Conference Finals. That's their potential. Their floor and ceiling are basically those two things. And I'm not saying, because every team is that, okay? I'm saying the reality, though, is legit could do either thing. And you could be like, yeah, I could see that.
You can make the case either way.
Like they could lose in the first round because they might get a bad matchup that doesn't work their way. You take out Brunson, and then you could blink your eye and be down in a series and suddenly lose it. You could also see it that this team make that run, and all of a sudden we're in Boston in May going, wow, game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, Knicks and Celtics. This is amazing. Both things can happen.
And you're still looking. It happened to Milwaukee. It's happened to you. It's happened to Cleveland. I don't know what the Magic has had to deal with, but everybody's got that little injury bug, but Boston.
They've been remarkably healthy.
Dead claw.
They have been remarkably healthy. It's true. ESPN Bet has the Celtics. It's like plus, I wrote it down when I was on GetUp. It was like plus 130 to win the East. Even the Nuggets are a minus 160 to win the West. Plus, odds on favorite.
They think the discrepancy between the Celtics and everybody else is greater than anybody else.
It's wild. It's unbelievable. Like the next best team in the East is the Bucks, and they're minus 600.
What are we thinking about Medulla?
I'm sorry, I got it backwards. It's minus. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What's his name?
I got the plus minus backwards in my head. Yeah, Joe Mazzulla. Mazzulla. Yeah.
Mazzulu. I'm just playing. Mazzulla. Okay, I got it. Mazzulla.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, the criticism was he's late to adjust. Like, he can adjust game to game. But not in game.
Freezes up, yeah.
And freezes up. Like, is it any concerns that he's not ready? Like, in a tight series?
Yeah.
Like, you think about him.
Who's the coach that you would take?
The Heat.
If you chose in a matchup.
Yeah, let's power rank the coaches. I feel like that's fair.
In the East right now, like the playoff coaches?
Because I like Nurse.
Oh, right? Yeah. No, you don't want to coach against him in a series.
He's a pain in the ass. Series, right?
All right. So if you're going number one, it's Spoelstra.
Yes.
Right? Spoelstra's the guy, and he's got the
he gets
the Heat respect. Still have to win to get in, and they'll be the eighth seed right now. So they'd have to at least win one, if not two. Yeah, exactly. And if you're Boston, do you really want to see Miami in the first round?
Remember, they lost the first game. You're like, yo, they look like crap. Went to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, exactly. They lost to Atlanta in the first game, and then they ended up, right, it's ridiculous. So Miami is, you'd put Spoelstra. I would probably put Tibbs as number two, right? Then I would go.
You got to go Nurse. He's
Nick Nurse.
He's a champ.
Yeah, Nick Nurse is three. And then probably Rick Carlisle at four, right? Pacers.
Damn.
All right.
Doc ain't getting there.
So,
in the heart of the city.
Well, I would probably go Doc. Yeah, I would go Doc next, then Jamal Mosley, and then Bickerstaff, and then Mazzulla. Right? Bickerstaff with the Cavs. And I even think, like, I might put Mazzulla over Bickerstaff.
Yeah.
I might do that because, you know, you saw last year. Oh, my God.
Last year.
Like, he had no answers.
Shook.
No answers. He was in his huddle. He was just doing cliches, and the guys were side-eyeing him like, "Yo, like what?
Like, hey, can you draw something?
Like, try harder. That's your strategy."
So Mazzulla is got the best team. But he's arguably the second
worst
coach.
Yeah, I would say inexperienced, and it's mostly inexperienced.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Just
tons of inexperience, and you know how things went last year.
It's all about
team readiness. Punches. Like they were not ready to play. Like, the fact that they lost game three in Miami the way that they got smoked. Remember they lost both games at home?
Yeah.
Then they went to Miami, and you're like, all right, well, now they got to win.
Tatum came alive.
And they got smoked in game three. How are you not ready to play that game? 0-3. Nobody comes back from 0-3. Then they force the game seven. Then an injury happens in game seven because you always mess around, and they end up losing that game.
But they say, what's that dude that has the chart? The longer you F around.
F around and find out. Yeah. Exactly. 800-919-3776. Yeah, lots to get to here.
What's going to be our call?
I would not be upset with what Barkley said. I would not. I don't think anybody should be mad about it. I think if anything, you should embrace it and welcome it, because what you don't want are unnecessary suddenly expectations. You can have them for yourself, but I don't think it matters what anybody else is saying right now about this team. A lot of Knicks fans love this team, and they want to see them be praised. You want to see them be the darlings. All that. Man, save all that.
Give us our respect.
Yeah, wait for that. Don't worry about that.
Who am I respect?
I would rather be completely overlooked and surprise everyone than have suddenly all these expectations. So let's say you don't get out of the first or second round, and now everybody's like, first time you trust them, and then they suck. You know, like, you don't need that anymore. And Tibbs said this too recently, and it led to a four-game losing streak. He said, the minute you start feeling good about yourself, then you get checked, right? All of a sudden, something happens and you get checked. You get reminded. And so don't worry about all that stuff now. That's not a big deal. But it's so many people got mad about it last night. Yeah. Made no sense to me. So what? Yeah. What did you think? First of all, you think Shaq's ever going to give the Knicks any respect? No, he's personal. He's never, ever liked the Knicks. And you know why? Two reasons. One, he claims that Patrick Ewing was disrespectful to him when he was a rookie, and he was trying to be respectful to Patrick. And he said that Patrick did something to him that got him all upset, number one. Number two, that I believe there was a time the Knicks could have made a move to get him, and they didn't.
Ah.
And I've told that story, that Don Nelson, when he was the coach, he was part of Dream Team 2, and he knew that Shaq was going to leave Orlando as a free agent.
So the Diesel could have been there instead of LA.
This is the story. He wanted a big market. And L.A. was one idea, but New York could have been another. And so Don Nelson was secretly trying to tell the Knicks, trade Ewing to the Magic for Shaq. We'll have him before he goes to free agency, and then we can sign him, and he can be here.
He would have loved that.
And the Knicks
because if somebody's disrespectful, you're like, yeah.
Exactly.
Take your spot, son. Yeah. Go mess with Mickey Mouse, B.
Right.
I'm up here in the Big Apple.
But when that was discussed, it was probably the beginning of the end for Don Nelson.
Yeah.
Because there were so many people that were so loyal to Ewing in the organization. Yeah. They were like, we're not doing that.
Hey, he never won you a chip. I never understood the loyalty to him.
That's how it was. And Jeff Van Gundy was one of them, very loyal to him. But that was Don Nelson said to them, you got a year. You can get him in here before he goes to free agency, and then you can get him signed to an extension. Now you've got this.
What year was this? Because
probably 95.
So Ewing, this was right coming off 94 when Ewing was still him.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, but he was over 30.
Yeah, but he was still.
But he was him. Yeah, he was him. Yeah. But it was clear that Shaq was already eclipsing him as the best center in the East. It was like 95, 96 in that range.
Gotcha.
And so instead of making that move, they ended up building a new team around him instead. And they had all kinds of bad luck.
Yeah, Ewing.
But that's a story.
Ewing pulled a Wilt Chamberlain to Lou Alcindor. Son tried to Sonny. Shaq was like, I ain't your son.
Yeah, it was. Shaq has told the story before that I think it was like on the court or whatever it was, or maybe the All-Star. He tried to walk up to him and like say hi to him, respect him. And Patrick, who was, when he was a player, he was socially awkward.
Yeah.
Like he was. Like he was always like gruff. Yeah. You know, like he just had that way. He's not like that now. Yeah. Now, like I saw him at a volleyball tournament. Hey. His arms are like, you know, it's totally different human being.
No stress.
But yeah, probably.
No stress.
Probably. But that, whatever that first meeting was, that first impression thing, and if you remember their first matchup, I'll never forget it. Shaq came to the Garden, and Shaq played well. Ewing dominated him.
Yeah.
Dominated him. And there was probably something about that too, where Ewing was like, you know, letting him know.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
this is my league. I'm King Kong. Hey, let me send something out to Spike. Because Spike listen to the show. Spike, I need you to get at me, man. I got an idea, man, you have to do.
Spike Lee?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Is there any other Spike? Oh, we got
to. You know what
Spike.
I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know.
I got to throw the Lee on him.
Yeah,
Spike, so. I know he listens to the show sometimes, man. I need him to call up, man. I need to tell him what the people need.
We got an idea?
Yeah. I've been had this idea, and I've been meaning to tell him and say.
Is it Knicks related?
Oh, no. It's about him. It's about
Spike?
Yeah, it's about his work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I need him to
you
do
You got
this.
A movie? You got a script?
I got something that I think he need to do, and I think it'll be huge.
The Bart Scott story.
Huge.
coming to theaters.
Huge.
Can't wait.
Huge. Well, you got to buy My Life Story from Warner Brothers.
Still waiting.
Hey, yo, a lot of people think My Life should be like a series like Everybody Hates Chris. Because I got the drunk uncle that used to put the switchblades in his
You also have the cross-dressing uncle too, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's my god brother. And then, and then I have my crackhead uncle they call Chicken George.
Uh-huh. Chicken George would be a character.
Chicken George.
Now, what role would I have in this? Would I be White Mike?
Yeah, you'd be White Mike. You can play my cousin Rick.
Just
They're like, hold on, he's totally white. How is your cousin? Don't even.
I randomly just come in and out of episodes. Yeah. Like just random. Like everything's going on. All of a sudden, here's White Mike. Like, what is he doing?
White Mike and I had Mike. My auntie was Indian from South Dakota. So we got that.
Wow.
We like the village people. So
she brings the sage and like gets everything cleansed.
Yeah, she comes here. She comes here with the herbs and spices.
I love it. All right, 800-919-3776. So it's a Friday. You know what that means. It's Bucket Friday, right?
Tears in a bucket.
I think that's what it is. So we go full buffet. Plenty to get to. Football, baseball stuff. Spike. But the NBA stuff, obviously prominent where the Knicks are. They play the Nets tonight at the Garden. And the Knicks are basically... They could have their most wins in over a decade if they win tonight.
Ah, not since the Carmelo and J. Kidd.
That's right. And they could get to 50 wins if they win tonight and then win on Sunday.
50 burger.
But more importantly, it's locking up the 3 seed to avoid the Celtics.
Or the 2 seed.
2 is, it's there, but the Bucks winning that last game, that's it. They're pretty much, the Bucks would have to lose their last 2 games.
Dreaming on
the And the Knicks would have to win out, and then it could happen. But right now, 3 seed is still there, which sets you up for second round possibly against the Bucks. Who knows what Giannis is going to look like.
We want that.
And then obviously, if you can get that far, a conference finals where Boston could be waiting. And you would definitely sign up for that. So, where are you right now with the Knicks? 800-919-3776 as we head into the final weekend of the NBA season. It's Bart and Hahn, 98.7 ESPN. I do want to mention something, though, Bart Scott.
You do?
This is Bart and Hahn. We're brought to you by Tullamore Dew because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
That's Friday vibes.
You're the rat tata.
Friday vibes. Rat tata tata and all the guns scatter.
Brada 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 hit you in the bladder.
Put it out of the head, said the gun is for the lady, told the cop, back off. Honey is dead.
I do 1,000 years if I pull this trigger. Come on down, you. They remake. Come on, Jake. You supposed to jump in this, son. Freestyle in the booth like Tigger, son.
800-919-3776.
I forgot Jake, little baby.
Nah, I know Big Tigger in the basement.
Yeah, but you're big. You're okay, dog. You saw reruns. You ain't seen nothing live.
Nah, I saw them live. I was a young kid watching them.
Bowiezy in the booth, baby.
See, again, Jake was raised right. That's how we know. Because he has respect for the music. All right, let's get to some calls. 800-919-3776. Let's first go to Jason in Queens. Go ahead, Jason.
Come on, Jason.
I'm hyped about this win. This win last night. I'm feeling good. It's a Friday. I hope you guys are feeling good as well. Just want to make a few comments regarding just everything that transpired. I know the Celtics are number one. I know everyone's saying, oh, they were kind of coasting, going through the motions and stuff. But something that kind of stuck with me was Barkley's comments, not about, you know, the Knicks and the Pacers, but how he was talking about, you know, how he was on the best team in the league. They kind of coasted through the last couple of weeks of the season, and they kind of struggled to get that same energy back. We beat on the Celtics, you know, who are kind of doing the same thing. You know, they might try to diminish this, but if we lose this game, then everyone's going to say, oh, we're not ready for the Celtics. You know, we can't go up against, you know, the big boys. So, you know, screw that. I think it was a great win. OG changes this team completely. It's very exciting to watch him on defense and just how everything just runs, you know, with him on the floor. And I just want to say I completely agree with, you know, any negative comments or, you know, oh, the Knicks, I think we lose to the Pacers or whatever and stuff. I completely agree with what you said, because I love being the underdog, honestly. It kind of takes that, you know, added pressure off, and we get to surprise people and prove people wrong. So I'm ready for the playoffs, and I'm excited. So that's it for me.
Yes, I can hear it in your voice, Jason. Thanks for the call. I mean, that's, you know, like I said, don't worry about what Charles said. Don't worry about that. So, they're going to lose to the Pacers in the first round. Okay. All right, great. Like, that's great. Because you'd rather have – I'm telling you, you'd rather have that. You would rather have it. And I know some fans, they just say nice things about my team. Say nice things. Like, you want to feel good about your team, so you, like, you want other people to say nice things about them. That's not why you're a fan. Right. You could see it with your eyes. Just look how this team plays hard. Yes, everybody – just understand, they could lose in the first round. They can. It's possible. But they could also go to the conference finals. That's possible, too. That's how the East is right now. It is really the Boston Invitational. It's the Celtics and everybody else. And everybody's just going to be in a mosh pit of who can survive. This is literally survive in advance in the East. Because it's that much of everybody's... Look how close second through eighth has been over the last month. So, yes, anything could happen. But all you got to do is look with your eyes.
Styles make fights.
Yes. Look at your eyes. Look with your eyes and just say, I know what I'm seeing, and this is the best I've seen in a long time of the team that I root for. That's all you need to know. That's all that matters. So let them say what they want to say. But if things go right, they'll come around. Eddie in Los Angeles. What's up, Eddie?
What's up, Al? What's up, Bart?
What up?
Hey, I agree with everything that you were saying, Alan. I thank you for doing what you do on Get Up for the Knicks. Really quick, what you guys were talking about with Don Nelson, that was the 95-96 season.
Yep.
96, Nelson got fired, and that's when they brought in Jeff Van Gundy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But going to my point, I never heard about the Shaq coming to New York, though. But I'm glad that didn't happen.
Why?
Are you crazy?
Why?
It could have been us.
I love Patrick, but the Lakers would have never had the Kobe Shaq era.
Could have been us.
Like, no.
But the reason why, maybe I'm stupid, but I love 1999. And this is an excellent segue, because this season feels like 1999 to me. In 99, remember they brought in Sprewell. Camby. Mm-hmm. The Knicks were struggling. It was a 50-game season. The Knicks won six out of the last seven games.
Yeah, they had to fight just to get in. Yeah.
Absolutely. But then in those 6-7 games, and the one game that they lost by 2 points. And in those 6-7 games, the Knicks were clicking. And everybody, this is what it reminds me of, that the fans were looking for respect. Like, yo, we're doing this and we're doing that. And that's what the media guys were saying. Oh, they're going to get beat by Miami at 4. What happened? Mm-hmm. We beat them at 5. Then against Atlanta. Oh, Atlanta's going to beat them at 7. We swept them. Oh, Pacers are going to win at 6. Oh, we beat them at 6. So And the bad news was Patrick Ewing went out after game two. He played 1-2 of the Pacers series, and he lost game three.
Yeah,
but I'm going to say something that most Knicks fans, I'm going to say it for the Knicks fans, and I'm going out on a limb because I was saying the same thing. I felt that the Knicks, I felt since January when OG, when we went 15-2 with OG,
mm-hmm.
I felt that we was going to go to the Eastern Conference, and I thought that it was the Boston. It was just everything with Boston. It's just Boston's to lose. But now, Han, I disagree with that because Embiid is back. Miami, do not sleep on Miami. And the Knicks, we're here. Orange and blue skies, baby. Orange and blue skies. Love you guys.
Thank you, Eddie. Appreciate it. OG in Brooklyn. Go ahead, OG.
What's up?
What's up?
What's up, Bart? They're underestimating us, man. Come on, I'm really, man. Bart, Han, you know. Han, you got the games every day, man. You see how these guys are playing, man. Mm-hmm. We're going to blow the doors off of them because we got the three-prong connection, and you know who I'm talking about, Brunson, DiVincenzo, and Hart. Okay, I put Hart on their point guard to lock him up. I bet you anything we'll beat them in five, okay? As long as our two centers lock down Turner, because Turner, to me, is a bigger threat than any other member other than the point guard for Indiana, okay, we're going to do very well. Let them keep underestimating us. We're going to drill them with three-pointers. I can't wait till the Knicks lock up at least 23-pointers in one game, if not more, and if they haven't done it already. You guys are the best. Keep it up. Bart, you are a character, and Han, man, I've been listening to you since Han Solo. That's all I got to say, guys. You're the best.
Appreciate you, OG.
Deepity, 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 deepity. That's all, folks.
I'll tell you what, I'll have what he's having. Like, I love the confidence.
You ready for Friday.
Yeah, so. Everybody, say it with your chest. Rob and Dobbs Ferry.
What's up, guys?
What's happening?
I just wanted to make a couple points about the Knicks. I mean, I don't know when the last time I've had so much fun watching a team. I want to say it was probably the 2009 Yankees or maybe when the Giants won it in 2012. But anyways, Jalen Brunson's been turning into my favorite New York athlete. He's probably 1A, 1B, along with Aaron Judge.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you that. Like, it's got to be Aaron Judge, yeah. Right, if you're a Yankees fan.
Yeah.
Juan Soto's moving into that.
Yeah, be Soto.
I was going to say, Juan Soto might be pushing into that group too, though, the way he's playing.
Yeah, no, that was my question for you guys. So if I had to make my list personally, it would probably be 1A, 1B, Judge, mm-hmm. Brunson, 2, Soto, 3, probably Cole. But I was actually interested, if you guys had to name your current top three favorite New York athletes, who would you say?
Yeah,
thank you.
Current. Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you, Rob. That's a good one to talk to the people about.
Yeah, I'm going.
Like, where's Brunson on the list right now of your favorite New York athlete? I just think Judge probably sits one still.
By the end.
By June. What are we saying?
No, I'm saying by this time next year.
Oh, boy.
It'd be Aaron.
Aaron Rodgers?
Coming to retake his
throne. Hey, Rodgers is also a guy that could be on this list now.
Coming to retake his throne.
You know what I mean? Like, Saquon's gone, so he's off the list. Remember the mural we did? We talked about the mural in the old studio, and we had how do you replace it? Now Saquon can't be on it. He's out.
Yeah.
Judge, for sure. Brunson now has to be on that mural, right?
Yeah, Brunson's on the mural.
Yeah, and then.
But who did he kick off?
Cole.
He kicked off.
Like, what do you have? Three Yankees, a Jet, and a Knick?
I don't know.
You can't have three Yankees, but three. I bet you in the top five, you might get three Yankees. I mean, is Pete Alonso still top five?
No.
You're a Met?
Nah.
If you're a Mets fan. Is he really ahead of.
I don't think you have a top.
Like,
Met.
If you're a Mets fan, is Jalen Brunson ahead right now of any Met on the roster?
Yeah. Because they're winning.
That's interesting. Right,
he's balling.
If you're if you're a Giants fan,
I think Daniel Jones is off that list. I don't think the Giants have anybody.
No, you can't possibly try to sell me even on Kayvon Thibodeau. You can't.
No, because if that's the case, you could say put sauce there.
That's what I mean. Like it's he hadn't been here long enough for you to love him.
And ain't won nothing.
And Judge has
and
a
Rodgers
historic
ain't won nothing. But you know,
Judge has a historic performance. He has an MVP season. Right, he's Rookie of the Year. But there's already enough of Judge to have him on that list. Soto just got here, but he's climbing because you just love the appeal.
A-Ron, because you know
Jalen Brunson's in his second year in New York. Problem with Rodgers, he hasn't played a game yet.
Yeah, but you know his resume, what he's capable of.
I love that. Like this is a great Friday topic.
That's like Kevin Durant coming over and he's injured because of the Achilles. He's Kevin freaking Durant.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
don't need to see
if, yeah, he, I already know
if
what
he
he's about.
He can handle it.
All right. So if you had, you want to make a top three, since five, it's going to be hard to get five.
No, I want to go top five.
Top five. Top five current. They're playing on a New York team. Now, you could do Shesterkin.
Oh, let's go Mount, do you want to go Mount Rushmore?
Zibanejad.
Mount Rushmore? Like four?
Well, four. What's the difference?
Okay.
Right? The mural had, I believe, four. So you want to do the mural thing again?
Yeah.
Right now, with everybody playing in the draft coming up with football, I guess that is the question. Is like, I mean, because again, you could put Zibanejad on there, you could put Panarin on there, you could put name the Ranger, Shesterkin. Like, where would you put? How would you put together right now, if we were redoing the mural in the studio, four athletes that belong on the mural right now? Brunson's got to be on it.
Brunson, A'Ron, and Judge, and I feel like the other two are open.
One. There's only one. There's no four.
Oh, four. I thought you said four or five didn't matter.
I thought I couldn't remember.
Okay, so
Because does Alonzo belong on it? Has Alonzo done anything to make you go, oh, yeah, he's got – you don't even know if he's going to be here by the end of the year. If I mean, he could be traded if things don't go well.
Yeah, I think Alonzo is off that list. And if this would have been last year, it would have been Scherzer or Verlander.
Yeah, you're right. I think we did this last year, and it was the same results. We were talking about Verlander, Scherzer, Alonzo people were pushing.
We can't we can't put three
Brunson wasn't on the list yet, I don't believe, because he hadn't done enough. But now, I mean, geez, he's going to be a top five MVP vote candidate.
Yeah,
top five. He's not going to win it, but he's definitely going to be the top five in voting the way he's played. I love this. This is great as a Friday topic, along with everything else that we have to do with you to talk about. It's Barton on, brought to you by Telemardew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Telemardew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Telemardew or try the brand new Telemardew Honey during tonight's action. No, I wasn't calling you honey. It's Telemardew Honey. That's not give me a Telemardew Honey. It's no, give me a Telemardew Honey. See what I mean? Not calling you honey. Glasses up to enjoying Telemardew responsibly.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
That's funny. We thought Tom Brady was done too. Apparently not. Wait till you hear what he had to say about playing football again.
He be trolling.
Hey, listen. He sees how much quarterbacks are making and how teams are desperate enough.
This dude got $350 million to talk.
Yeah, he'd rather play. Maybe he realized that talking ain't all it's cracked up.
Is he afraid to be Drew Brees?
I don't know. No, I don't think so. I think he'll be great in the booth. I think he'll be great in the booth.
You think?
I just think for him, it's like, you know what? I feel great. Like he's on the plant-based diet. He probably feels awesome. And he's like, you know what? I took a year off, kind of got my health good. And, you know, I can still sling it.
You see,
and if somebody's
going
to give
Tyson,
me 50
you see Mike Tyson coming back to fight?
Mike Tyson is coming back to fight. Yeah, what else is he doing?
Oh, yeah, he say, I'm going to be pissed off. I ain't smoking no weed.
Oh, so he's going to be, yeah.
Ain't got no chill.
Don't make me mad.
Bite both your ears off.
You like me when I'm mad.
I'll bite your whole ear off. I ain't taking just a piece. I'm biting the whole ear.
Face, all of it. You know what? It's interesting to say that question about, like, where you would put, like, what would be right now when you consider with Saquon gone, you know, the uncertainty of Pete Alonso's future. Juan Soto has arrived. Jalen Brunson's arrival. How would you rework the famous mural that we had in our old ESPN New York studios that once had, it was Eli, it was Jeter, Melo, and Amari. I believe that's that. Was there a Jet on there? I don't even remember now. But that was basically it. So who would be on that mural now? Because we've done this before. We did it last year, but it's amazing how within a year it changes dramatically.
Because
there was a time we were like, oh, KD's got to be on there.
Yeah.
KD's not even here. You know, Saquon's on it. Nope. He's not here. And last year it was all, I remember people saying, oh, you got to put Pete Alonso on it. Well, are you sure? He might not be here for a minute.
And J. Cole, I mean,
J. Cole. J. Cole should be on it. Went to St. John's.
Garrett Cole, but Garrett Cole has not even played this year.
But is Garrett Cole somebody you'd put ahead? Like, even though he's won a Cy Young and he's Juan Soto's climbing the ranks fast. They love him.
He's the popular pick right now.
Yeah. Let's go back to calls. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Keith in East New York. Hey, Keith.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
All right.
Hey, I'm that guy who called and said, why can't the Knicks be the Rip Hamilton Pistons? But I'm real excited now because I heard Clyde Frazier say that the team reminded him of the 70s championship Knicks. I wanted to get your thoughts on that because I'm real excited about this team. They remind me of what the Bulls looked like when they were going up against the Pistons and they had been losing. And I told my brother, hey, I think they're going to get them this year. I'm not saying the Knicks are going to win the championship. I feel like maybe they're 2 years away, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
Well, this year, Keith, I appreciate the call. This year, it would take a lot because the Denver Nuggets look like they're ready, and that's a tough team to match up with. Now, coincidentally, I think didn't the Knicks beat them twice, right? Or at least played them good that second game. They might not have beat them that second game in Denver, but still, like, played them well. So I'm not going that far. Clyde did say that. You know who else said it?
Who?
Bill Bradley. Bill Bradley played on those championship teams. He said, yes, they remind because unselfish, selfless when it comes to understanding your role and accepting your role and playing that way, share the ball, the accountability factor. And then also the thing that is striking, like, as you know, I've been on the road with this team. I've traveled around with them. You talk to other teams, other players and stuff. The thing that really strikes people the most about this Knicks team is how close they are. And it starts with, obviously, the three Villanova guys.
Right, the podcast.
But then everybody else is sort of gravitating to that, like, just that mood of, you know, the just how they are with each other. And Brunson said it, and he was half joking. Remember when Mike Breen asked him, like, what is it about this team? And he just said, well, we low-key hate each other. Mm. But he's like, but we really do like each other. What he means when he says low-key hate each other is that they know, like, on the bus, they can rip on each other. No one takes it personal. No one gets upset. There's none of that ego stuff that gets involved. They all just laugh. They laugh about it because it's like, whatever you say, I know it's true. And you just laugh. So they can rip on each other. They can low-key hate on each other because they care about each other so much. And that part exists. It's such a delicate thing that you don't want to mess with. And then in the offseason, when we start talking about what they need to overcome the Celtics and all that other stuff, you're going to want to bring in some people. But those people got to fit. They got to fit.
Got to fit the culture.
Yeah. Like, you don't want to bring in the wrong kind of people. Let's go to Jerry in Rockland. Jerry.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. How are you?
What's up?
Hello?
We here, baby.
Yeah, we got you.
Oh, okay. I think you got me there. I wanted to 2 points. First of all, I want to voice my concerns. If the Sixers win tonight, they're tied with the Magic, right? Am I getting this correct?
If the Sixers lose tonight? If the Sixers lose tonight, it's 36. If they win tonight,
if the Sixers win tonight,
it would be they'd be still a half game back of the Orlando Magic.
Oh, okay, fine. So because I was getting nervous. Win, they still,
Yeah, a win tonight puts them at 46 wins, but they still have 35 losses, so they would not move to sixth yet because Indiana has 34 losses. So you always go by loss column.
No, but they're playing each other tonight.
Oh, I didn't realize they were playing each other tonight. Then yes, then that would move them. That would move them to a tie with the Pacers. Yeah, so whatever the tiebreaker is.
And with the Magic, that's a three-way tie.
No, Orlando only has 34 losses, so the Orlando would have to lose as well.
No, that's what I'm saying. Orlando is playing tonight against Philly.
You're killing me. So it's Sixers, Magic, and who? So what are the Pacers doing? Because they have 34 losses. The Pacers and Magic are tied right now in record. All right. It's Sixers Magic. So the Pacers would move up, and I guess what you're suggesting is would that move the Sixers to sixth place, and then if the Knicks finished third, they'd have to face each other. That'd be the worst case scenario if you're the NBA. You don't want that, because you want the Sixers and Knicks to kind of hang around in this thing because they're the only two teams that you think right now have any kind of momentum to take on Boston. If they eliminate, if one of them eliminates the other, then what good is it? Second round then kind of sucks. So we'll see what happens. It's still two more games. As they have said, play them all out and see what happens. If you're concerned about facing the Sixers, the Knicks beat the Sixers in Philly twice. And I believe Embiid played in both games. I know he played in one of them. But I think they match up very well against the Sixers. So I wouldn't overreact to that kind of a matchup. Like, that wouldn't scare me. That's more or less like you got to respect him, and Nick Nurse is certainly going to make life difficult defensively because that's what he does. He's brilliant at that stuff. But, you know, you got to play good teams, so it's going to happen. And I'd probably try to run Embiid ragged. I got three bigs I can throw at him. Just get him tired, man.
I wonder what his minute's going to be like and at what point, like,
you got to take the governor off at some point.
Yeah, but I'm trying to figure out like, at what point is he going to be able to, be able to run and get his win back. Is it 3 weeks? Is it 4 weeks? A month? Like, at what point did it was like, all right, well, we better get him early because if he gets back,
I was going to ask the opposite question. At one point, does the fact that he's playing games lead to him hitting a wall and the knee not being because it's not the leg is not strong?
But I feel like the rest of his body has gotten. Rest.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know what it is. When you go from zero to now playoff pounding, that knee.
That's what I'm trying to
say. And the leg will be a little weaker because you haven't used it that much.
So I'm wondering if you're just trying to close halves and close games with them.
That's what I mean.
Start them off Watch early, the put them on the bench early.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, and minutes without Embiid, minutes without Brunson. Those are two major factors
and
for
tell
both
your
teams.
Team, we got to get off to a fast start.
Good point.
And, then Joel will come in. We'll finish strong in the half, come out for the third, get him out early, then let him close the show.
Yeah, well, again, it's all things that we'll know on Sunday afternoon. All right, we'll continue with the calls, 800-919-3776. Kind of a fun topic. It's just involving right now. If we're doing that mural, four of your favorite athletes now currently playing in New York because several of them have fallen off that list or fallen off that mural because they're not here anymore. So what do you – that was so close. I just basically had one that rimmed out on me. Damn it. All right. Are you sniffing the finger?
What if I fell off the chair?
We'll continue with your calls. Tom Brady also leaving the door open yet again.
Come back, yeah.
Oh, man. Stay with us. Bart and Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Timothy.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.